morning to introduce to you our guest speaker, Daryl Mosley. Daryl is an American singer, musician, and songwriter, and believer in Jesus Christ, an individual that we've been privileged to hear before, but we're looking forward to him sharing the good word, the God's word in song. And he certainly can sing. He's certainly a good songwriter. He's a two-time Songwriter of the Year with 7 number one songs and 3 Song of the Year awards to his credit. And so we're looking forward to hearing a little bit about God from you today, Brother Von Music. So, ladies and gentlemen, Daryl Mosley.
She would have taken an issue if I was not ready. Young people are just so hard to get along with sometimes. But, but I was there for that and happy for her. And, but it's great to be back here. Now, I know that it's been, I think it was last April, I heard, April of last year, I guess, when I was here. That's, was anybody seeing me right now the very first time? You've never, oh, good, we got all home for months of home, folks. Well, great. Well, I am Daryl Mosley. I grew up in a little town of Waverly, Tennessee, about an hour west of Nashville. And, born and raised there, you know, growing up in a little country church there, and singing in church. And, you know, from a very early age, I was dreaming of singing and traveling and a music career, and not really having any idea whether that's something that the Lord had in mind. But I have been blessed for a long time now. He has allowed me for many years now to travel and sing and tour and record. And, you know, I spent 10 years at the Grand Ole Opry, and I've sung in some really wonderful places. And but the one thread that has ran through all of that has been songwriting. I have been a songwriter that entire time. And so these days I do a lot of this, just me and the guitar and sharing some of the songs I've written over the years and the stories behind them. And so that's what I'm going to do today. Just some of these, like I said, if you've seen me before, some of these may be familiar to you. Other ones will be some new things for you. But I just want to give God the glory for everything this morning. And I'm a lover of story songs, so we'll get a good dose of story songs today. Daddy was a builder, a carpenter by trade. Our house was filled with furniture and things Daddy made. He hammered out a living, he measured out a life, taking care of his children and his wife. 6 days out of 7, he was up before the dawn. And soon you'd hear him working with his hammer and his saw. He was just a simple country man, hard working, kind and good, but he was at his best with his hands in wood. With his hands in wood, he gave it all he had, never turning back when the times got bad. He was a living example that we understood, that he was at his face with his hands in blue. Well, I remember when we got the word a neighbor's house burned down. He didn't hesitate, he loaded up and went to town. I gave him all the furniture that he had built to sell. Then he offered up a prayer and wished them well. Well, I've seen him build a cradle where his grandchild lay. He built the church an altar and would not accept their pay. And he built a strong foundation where our family has stood. Cause he was at his base with his hands in wood. With his hands in wood, he gave it all he had. Never turning back when the times got bad. He was face with his hands in blue. And he told me all about the greatest carpenter of all, who laid down his hammer to answer a higher call. But they thought he was a rebel, he was so misunderstood, and they crucified him with his hands in wood. With his hands in wood, he gave it all he had, never turning back when the times got bad. He was the living example that we understood, that he was at his best, never giving any less. He was at his best with his hands in
me standing up on the hood of the car and singing for people. And I don't remember doing that. I'll take your word for it. But I do remember Mom singing, Mom sat and sang, and Mom had an old Gibson guitar that she would sing and play in church. And I can remember being a little bitty standing next to her singing. And, you know, then I got older and I started learning to play myself, and so I started singing and playing. And, but I never really considered to be a songwriter until I was a teenager. And where I live is just about 5 miles from Mr. Redwood. And I, of course, like everybody, like the world, and I'm grieving with the Lynn family today, you know. And of course, my relationship is a little bit different from most people's, but, you know, I've known the family my whole life, and the twins, Peggy and Patsy, we were in first grade together. I mean, we've known each other our whole life. And what a lot of people don't know is that all the years I've grown up here is all through the 70s into the early 80s, you know, Miss Loretta was on the road all the time. And so they had a nanny housekeeper named Gloria Land. Miss Gloria was, you know, she basically helped raise them. And this was a wonderful, wonderful Christian. And after the girls got grown, Gloria stayed on and worked at the museum. But she loved gospel music. And so lots of times, if I was reasonably close to home, Gloria would come to the concerts. And I just adore her. But what a lot of people don't know, Gloria passed away about a month ago. So the girls, the twins, lost Gloria and their mom in about a month. And that's hard, you know. And so I'm feeling for them today and for the rest of the family. But I digress. When I was a teenager, Miss Loretta was so kind to me and encouraging me. She was the one that actually encouraged me to pursue songwriting. Talked about how important it was to her career. And so, at her encouragement, I started trying to figure out this whole thing of songwriting and how you put a song together and how that actually works. And I've come over the years to accept that songwriting is part gift and part craft. And I am thankful daily that God blessed me with the gift. But what comes with that is he gives me the responsibility of the craft. It's up to me to work at it, to be as good a songwriter as I can be. And that's been a lifelong process, and it continues to be. I'm tempted every now and then to pull out one of the first ones I wrote and sing for you, just so you can compare them to the newer ones, and at least you can tell I've improved over the years. But I don't want to do that, because they are the worst songs ever written, I guarantee you. And I wrote them, because I know it. But there's a great songwriter in Nashville named Larry Shell, lots of hit songs. And when I was a teenager, Larry kind of took me under his wing, and one of the things he said was, man, just write what you know. Write about the things that mean something to you. Which has been the best advice, because that's what I've done my whole career, is I write about my little town, Waverly, Tennessee. And little towns like it all over America. You know, that's where I feel most at home, is in small town America. I love those people. Just salt of the earth, go to work, go to church, love their family, take care of one another. Those are my people. And you know, we are a nation full of folks like that. You know, they don't get the press. You know, it's the bad people that seem to get all the attention, but I think there's a lot more of those than there are of them.
at least it's been my experience. And so that those are the folks I love about that. And they have wonderful stories with me. And I'll share some of those this morning. Occasionally one of my own stories will find its way into a song. Back a few years ago, right after my dad passed away, I wrote this song. And Dad was one of these guys who could fix anything. You know, if it was broke, he could fix it. And I grew up holding the flashlight for this man. And I wish that made more tension all those times I was holding the flashlight. But I wrote this after he passed away. Radio played this a lot, so they recognize this one. But I will share with you this one. Fishing with Daddy too late in the day. The sun sinking deep in the sky. We cut through the woods, it was scary and dark. And I'm trying hard not to cry. Daddy, what if there's a snake? Or a bear, or what if there's things I can't see? Well, Daddy just smiled, said, son, you'll be fine. Just walk and stay close to me. Just follow me, cause I know the way. He figured that out real quick, you know. So the first thing he did, Daddy believed in consequences, but the first consequence was for me that for him to turn that truck around, and he drove me back to that grocery store and made me go in and turn myself in. And I didn't want to do it. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed is what I was, you know, and I should have been. But I learned that little lesson I will never forget. And you know, the funny thing is, I've shared that story a lot, and I have had a number of people over the years come up and tell me a similar experience they had as a kid where they left a store and put something that didn't belong to them and their mom or their dad, and they could go back and turn it in. And every story I've ever heard, I mean, every single one, they remember it in perfect detail. You know, which leads me to believe that there are benefits to consequences. And I sort of remember that one. But I wrote this song because of that experience a few years ago. This was a number one song in Southern Gospel, but it's one of my favorites, and I'll share with you this one. Two little boys were staring at the candy on display. One whispered to the other with a clerk looking away. Just put it in your pocket, no one will ever know. We'll eat it all before we get back home. Well, that little boy just stared up at the candy on the shelf. You could almost hear the conversation he had with himself. Then he gave the clerk a dollar, took the candy and his change. Gave half to his buddy and explained, no matter who's watching, no matter who sees, Jesus in my heart knows how wrong that would be. And when I'm home and mama asks me, have you been good? Though she would never know. Boys that grow up, temptations grow up too. And we live in a world that says, do what you want to do. But then I'm no more hurt, is the devil's battle cry. But a godly man knows that is just a lie. No matter who's watching, no matter who sees, Jesus in my heart knows how wrong that would be. When the Holy Spirit asks me, have you been good? The world may never know, but I would. The man that I am, when no one is watching, is the man I really am. No matter who's watching, no matter who sees, Jesus in my heart knows how wrong that would be. When the Holy Spirit asks me, have you been good? The world may never know. No, the world may not ever know.
Directly be considered a gospel song, but I try not to ever write anything that's not a Christian song. I try not to ever write anything that I couldn't still sing in church. And part of that's by design, but mostly it's just because that's how I'm wired. You know, I realize it more and more how blessed I was growing up. I was brought up in a world where, you know, I was going to church before I knew it was an option. Then I got up and went to think it was an option and was told it was not an option. You know, so I was going to church my whole life, which formed the foundation of my existence, because I was raised up in a world where I knew about Jesus until I was old enough to know him.
So there's never really been a time in my life when I was not aware of God's love for me and His desire for me. And, you know, and that has served me wonderfully because it has allowed me to sidestep many things I might have found my way to otherwise. You know, I often say I don't have one of those really cool dramatic testimonies, you know, where God pulled me out of the hog pen like the prodigal son and restored me. I don't have anything like that. I can tell you about, that time I was late for class in high school or something like that. You know, it's about as dramatic as it gets. But it's all right because I appreciate that now more than ever. And so that's why so many of my songs just pull from that existence. I was raised up in this little Mayberry kind of town and this little Leaving to Beaver existence. And I appreciate that. Now, I want to share you a song now that was written kind of as a tribute to some friends of mine. I am the youngest member, mind you, but I am now a member of the club. I have finally gotten old enough to get invited to go down to the cafe in the morning and sit at the liar's table. At least that's what they call it. I love these guys. They are so funny. They're mostly retired businessmen there in town, and these guys get up earlier than they have to every day for the sole purpose of driving into town to drink coffee and insult one another. Apparently, those are the only rules, you know. But they have started inviting me, and so I will go and sit and mostly listen because I love to hear their stories and get them talking. And these are some great men. You know, like I said, most of them retired businessmen, most of them still, deacons or Sunday school teachers at their churches, and just good solid men. You know, and we're losing guys like. I mean, every single day we are losing that generation, and these are wonderful people. This song was written based on some of their stories, and I have been singing this, and I know that it resonates with a lot of folks, it's kind of focused on the men, but I think the ladies will appreciate this one as well.
When we were boys, the world was our backyard. It was comic books, pen knives, and baseball cards. Hide and seek and tug of war, race you to the candy store. We didn't know what girls were for back when we were boys. When we were boys, we'd sleep out beneath the stars. Trade bottles in four nickel candy bars. Open on an inner tube, skipping rocks and bending rules. All the things we got into back when we were boys. We didn't realize we had it made, with a cane pole and a best friend in the shade. Supper on the stove, no bills to pay. Wish I could go back just one more day. We slammed that old screen door. Each day brought new adventures to explore. Stay out till the sun was gone, till street lights started coming on. Mom would holler and y'all come home. Back when we were boys, we didn't and the best friend in the shade. Supper on the stove, no bills to pay. I wish I could go back just one more day. When we were boys, dreamed of being grown. But we would have chased that thought if we had known. Mom and Dad still young and strong. Everyone was safe at home. Just a blank and all was gone back when we were born. Just a blank and all was gone back when we were born.
Years now, but I spent a Sunday afternoon down in Mississippi, and I was in the part of the state where, according to blues music legend, the great blues guitarist Robert Johnson went to the crossroads and struck a deal with the devil and sold his soul in exchange for fame and fortune and the ability to play guitar. That story has been a part of blues music folklore for many, many years, and there have been lots of songs written about going down to the crossroads. And there I was in the part of the state, at the very place where they said it took place. There was a convenience store on both sides of the road. I wasn't sure which one was safe to order from, you know, so I just laughed about it. But you know, I was thinking when I was down there, I thought, you know, it's a really dark story. But, you know, when you think about it, all of us at some time or other in life will have been or will be at that spiritual crossroads where we have to make a decision. Am I going to align myself with the things of God, or am I going to align myself with the things of the world and of the flesh and ultimately of the devils? Well, if you know anything at all about a contract, you know the whole point of a contract is to have all the details laid out so that everybody knows what to expect and there's no surprises. Well, I always say I'm thankful that the contract that I signed with my Savior, signed with His blood, I carry that contract with me when I come to church in my Bible. Same as you know, that's not just that book that you're looking for before you run out the door. That's the contract. And the promises in that work, well, those are terms of the agreement. So if you want to know, you know, what the deal is, if you want to know what's in it for you, what's expected of you, it's all right there. And the promises of God are all through that book. So you know, you can pick out your favorites. They're all, you know. One of mine is, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, that's not just a Bible verse or a memory verse. That is a term of the agreement. And He is covenant bound to honor that, which means it is just as true this morning as it will be when we see it. And I love that, because it changes the way I read my Bible. You know, it becomes more really, more relevant to me. But I was thinking that day down in Mississippi that we never got to look at that other contract, and I didn't think that was quite fair. See, the world, you know, which is a pretty good press agent for the devil, doesn't read you the fine print. And I didn't think that was fair, because it's the fine print that you need to know. So I was just imagining if that contract was laying here on the table and the devil had to tell the truth, what would it say? And that's where this song came from. Now, this song is a little unusual. You don't often hear a gospel song written from the position of the devil. But that's what this song is. This song is simply called The Deal.
Lean in closer, I think something you will want to hear. I hold all the answers to your problems and your fears. Ignore the voice of conscience. Let my words seep through. Follow me, and I can make your selfish dreams come true. Everyone is welcome. We will open wide the gate and spread our propaganda out just like a grand buffet. You've mixed on twisted science that will justify your deeds, and I will be attending to your every want and need. And we'll legalize your pleasure, we'll legislate your sins, we'll change the terminology so no one can offend the voice of opposition. We will silence those views, and I'll let nothing in. antiquated rules. But I buy your first class ticket on this sinking ship of fools. I have pills to lift your spirit. I'll put status in your drink. And cable news to tell you how to vote and how to think. Oh, that little voice that whispers how Jesus is the way. I will drown it with hyperbole and gossip of the day. So drink from my self-righteous cup. Eat my poison fruit. And tell yourself that God is nothing but a horn of you. And we'll legalize your pleasure. We'll legislate your sins. We'll change the terminology so no one can offend. The voice of opposition, we will silence for its views. And I'll let nothing interfere with all I have. You'll see the hell you've chosen when there's no more second chance. But you have to pay the fiddler if you're gonna do the dance. Regret the deal you made, but then regrets are part of life. If you spend all of your tugs on this side of paradise, it'll cost you not one penny. In fact, I'll pick up the tab, and you keep all of the pride. Self-awareness you can grab. You can keep all of your arrogance, your greed and vanity. I'll give you all the world, but your soul belongs to me.
Praise God, I'm gonna skip that deal. How about you, amen? Well, I want to share something kind of personal with you that has happened in my life since the last time I've been here, and kind of a miracle the way I look at it. And it actually started about 3 years ago with a song that I wrote in my sleep. I didn't know you could write a song in your sleep. But I woke up, and the lyrics of the song was just right there, and I grabbed my phone and I recorded them in my phone so I wouldn't forget them. And I went back to sleep. I got up the next day, put a melody to the song, and ended up recording it, putting it on the new album. Well, you know, with most every other song I've written, I can at least tell you where the idea came from, you know, what sparked the idea. And this one I couldn't, because it came about in such a, you know, such a supernatural way. And I just assumed that God had a plan for it. And maybe one of these days I would know the purpose of that song. Well, I got the answer, at least I'm satisfied with the answer, in August of last year. August 21st of last year, my little hometown of Waverly, Tennessee, was just almost wiped off the map because of a freak flood. And what happened was, it was bizarre. First of all, we had about 19 inches of rain that fell in one morning, as a fourth of our annual rainfall in just a few hours. So all the rivers and the creeks were emptying out. Well, there's a train that runs parallel with downtown. It's been there since the Civil War. And it sits about 15 feet above town level. Well, all that water pooled in behind those tracks and ended up holding it all back like a levee until the amount of it and the weight of it was just too great, and it finally pushed through the tracks. And so all of this water came rushing into downtown at one time. There's actually video footage on YouTube of people in town who went from no water in their yard to 6 feet of water in their house in 9 minutes. It was unbelievable. We had 20 people tragically killed that day, several of them children. We had 272 homes destroyed. Now, in a small town, that's a lot. And the water force was so great, it was pushing houses off their foundations and running houses into water. My mother and my sister both lost their homes that day. But by the grace of God, not their life. But after the waters receded, my sisters and I got in my mom's house to see if there was anything left, you know. And I've never seen anything like it. There was mud everywhere. Everything was turned over. A lot of stuff was just gone. The water had gotten above the windows, pushed the windows out. A lot of her stuff was just washed away forever. Well, as long as I can remember, Mom has kept a Bible on her fireplace that belonged to her grandmother. Opened up, and on top of the Bible, she had her grandmother's eyeglasses. Been there as long as I can remember. Well, of course it was gone. Everything was gone. But as we were moving things around to see if there was anything salvageable, on the far side of the living room, we found the knife. It had somehow traveled from the fireplace all the way across the room and was laying open on the table. The eyeglasses were still on it. The same water force that ripped off the back half of her house, that was moving cars down the street like they were toys, the same water force that was shutting houses in one another, gently picked up that knife and those eyeglasses, carried them across the room, and laid them carefully on the table. You know, only a living God can do that. I mean, there's no other explanation. And it was like in that moment, it was almost like he was saying, you know what? I'm here. In the hardest moments, in the most difficult times, in the most catastrophic, I can't believe this moments, I'm here. And what's more, I am in control. And truly, greater is he. And I have drawn comfort from that ever since. And then I remember the song. I laughed out loud when I made the connection. A song that he had given me over a year before the flood. And at least now I know what it means to me. And I want to share it with you this morning. It's called Mama's Bible.
Services were over, most everyone was gone. Friends were there, condolences for a mom who passed on. Partly tired and partly tribute, I sat down in her chair. And on the table right beside her, I found her Bible there. I picked it up and held it just the way I'd seen her do. Then I ran my thumb across it, and I flipped the pages through. That's when I started seeing little pieces of her past. She placed between the pages just to make the moments last. Not too far into Genesis, I found a faded rose. One she'd saved from her bridal flowers, I suppose. Because right there beside me was an old worn black and white of my mama holding roses and my daddy smiling bright. I found an old church program between Judges and Ruth from the Sunday I got baptized back in my days of youth. And over in Hosea I found a lock of hair, not sure who it belonged to or why she kept it there. I noticed there in Proverbs a page was torn and dry. I knew that it was from the tears that my sweet mama cried. They fell on the verse about training up a child as he should go. I knew that she'd been praying because she loved us so. I found a family picture taken on a Christmas day, the last one we had together before Daddy passed away. But she placed his obituary by the third chapter of John. And I knew how much she missed him in the days since he'd been gone. All through the book I found them, little treasures tucked away, milestones on the road of life, memories that she saved. Trinkets of no value sent to a mother and a wife, whose family and Savior were the center of her life. I closed it and returned it to that table by the chair. I sat mourning all the longer and said a silent prayer. I thank God for such a mama and the memories that I hold, more precious now than the rubies, more valuable than gold. more precious now than the rubies, more valuable than gold.
Well, I'll sing another song for you, and then I'll turn it back over. You know, as I'm getting older, I think more and more these days about the importance of a legacy of your faith. You know, I think it's important that Christians leave a trail behind us. You know, because the shelf life of us is pretty short. You know, but and I don't know what the Lord's got in store. He's waited over 2,000 years now. It could be longer. You know, it could be a lot longer. We don't know. And I think we're way past the point now of expecting that that society or the government or schools or anybody else is going to be able to help us with this mission. I believe the Great Commission truly belongs to us now. You know, and maybe it always did. Maybe we just got lazy and let other folks do it. But I think it's important now more than ever to think about the legacy of your faith, the trail that you're leaving behind you, so that when you're no longer here, those that you have touched that are sharing Jesus with other folks, so that when they are no longer here, those that they have touched can share Jesus with others. Because I believe that's how it's designed. And one of the ways that God has allowed me to do that is through songs. And you know, I try to be a good steward of the songs that I write, and the ability to write those songs. Because you know, one of these days there may be grandchildren, great grandchildren that I never know, and all they know about me is what they've learned from my music. So I try to think, the things that my hands touch, I try to use those to represent him in a way that would make him proud. And this song certainly exemplifies all of that. You know, I wrote this thing coming back from North Carolina one night and never really having any idea. You know, you never know what's going to happen with a song. I actually put it on a demo with two other songs, and I didn't think this was the strongest one of the three. It just, you know, I thought it was all right. Not having any idea what God had in store, but he placed just a special anointing on this song. This song has been around the world. Over the years, it won every award it could possibly win. It made the list as one of the top Southern gospel songs of all time. I've heard it sung in different musical styles. I've heard it sung in different languages. One of my favorites, I was on YouTube a few months ago and I found the song being sung by a youth choir from South Africa. It was just so neat to hear these young kids, you know, that obviously English was probably not their first language, you know, see those big smiles as they sang this song that I wrote in here. It touched me in a way that I don't have the words to express, but, you know, it's opened doors and allowed me to have conversations with people and go places to sing that I would not have had otherwise. And all of that is strictly just by his grace. And, you know, he's allowed me to do this for a long time, but if, you know, one of these days if the Lord tarries and I'm not here anymore, if this is the only song that anybody ever remembers that I wrote, I'm all right with it. You know, because it has been such a blessing in my life. And I'm proud that it will be part of the legacy of my faith. So I want to share with you this morning. I see if you follow Southern gospel music, you've no doubt heard the Booth Brothers say this. My version's a little different, but this is pretty close to what it sounded like that very first night when the song was born.
Tell everyone what Jesus did to today. Had a new name, was telling myself and the deaf girl, he's leaving to answer God's call. Oh, it's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all.
Here's the good news, right here. My friend, in the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down. You tried everything you can possibly think of, and there's no relief to be found. Friend, that very same Jesus that altered the future of a blind man, the deaf, and the lame. Oh, he's still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. And you'll be trying to get the crippled man. Did he run back this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. But if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. Oh, 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 he saw it all.
Turn me around back to the past. know I should be. Lord, you never gave up on me. And when I put you off until later, oh, and later, just never arrived. And when my life is paid with the best of intentions, but somehow I don't find the time. Oh, and when it sure walked away, Lord, you always knew there would soon come a day when I would decide to be all I could be. Lord, you never gave up on me.
Safely that we might be able to praise and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray.